All right. Well, we've been going through a series called The Compassionate and Gracious God. And just for the past few weeks, we've been going through a particular book from the 12 minor prophets. And we're going in order from Hosea and on. And I just wanted to do a quick review of what we've gone through already. Hosea was a book that talked about how God's people were unfaithful to God and how we break our relationship with God, but how God continues to pursue his people and he shows himself as the compassionate and gracious God. And then we talked about Joel, and Joel talks about a day of the Lord and how one day there will be judgment and punishment that comes because God is not only a compassionate and gracious God, but he also does not leave the guilty unpunished, and he will bring about justice in the land. And so there is a call that goes out to rend your hearts, to come before the Lord and confess your sins and come back to have a relationship with the Lord. And then we went into Amos, and Amos talked about, last week we talked about how there is judgment for the injustice that's in the land, but it's not talking about just any injustice, it's talking about the injustice that God's people brought about because they're not thinking about the other people and the sufferings of the other people that are in their land. And so in Amos, it talks about how if you are a person that has a relationship with God, then it should show in your concern for the poor and the helpless and those that are in need in the land. And today, we're going to be talking about Obadiah. And so we've talked about how maybe we might be bringers of injustice to the land. But what about what happens when other people are bringing about injustice and we're the people that are faced with that injustice? We are the helpless. We are the hopeless. That's what Obadiah is going to be about. And so why don't we turn our Bibles to Obadiah, and the title for today's sermon is The Pride of the Nations. So why don't we turn our Bibles to Obadiah, and once again, if you do have your Bibles, it'd be great if you could turn your Bibles to Obadiah, and we won't have all the verses on the screen all the time. And so if you are turning to Obadiah, there's only one chapter. And so when it says Obadiah 1 through 4, it doesn't mean we're going to be reading chapters 1 through 4. It just means we're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. So since it's a small book, it might be a little bit difficult to find. So make sure you go past Psalms and Proverbs and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Go past all these books and then go very slow after that. Go past Hosea, past Joel, Amos, and then you'll come to Obadiah. If you've gone to Micah, Nahum, or Zechariah, you've gone too far. Come back to Obadiah. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 4 and verses 15 to 18. This is the reading of God's word. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up, let us rise against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. And starting in verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. For as you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. They shall drink and swallow, and shall be as though they had never been. But in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy. And the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble. They shall burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivor for the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Amen. Have you ever been wronged by someone And that pain that you felt, maybe it was something that you experienced even when you were younger, but you were wronged, and that pain still remains with you today. Do you have an example like that from your own life? It could be from your teen years, or maybe in your 20s, maybe even in your 30s. You were hurt by someone so badly that the pain still remains with you till today. I mean, when you have this kind of pain, it's difficult to deal with, and sometimes people say, you know, time, just let time pass and time will heal all things, but that's not necessarily the case all the time. And so what do you do with that pain? What do you do with that hurt? I mean, if that person that hurt you appeared before you today, what would you do? How would you respond to that person? It's a really difficult situation that I'm sure a lot of you face. And, you know, perhaps for some of you, your response might be when you do see that person, there might be this awkwardness that you feel. And you don't want to talk to that person. You might just want to ignore that person and just keep moving. Maybe in one of those situations where you see that person from afar and there's a split second decision you have to make whether to go and say hi or just to ignore the person and keep going. Well, maybe for some of you, you have that awkward feeling and you don't want to talk to that person. Or maybe you want to try to love that person, but then, man, it's just so hard and that person hasn't changed that much, and it's just, you're afraid of getting hurt again by that person. Maybe for some of you, there's a desire to see that person maybe suffer the same thing that they did to you. Maybe for some of you, there's a desire for you to see that person have something come back at them where they would experience and realize how wrong it was what they did. Well, let me read for us a passage that comes from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 18, says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." If there is a situation in your life where you have faced such a painful experience, the command from God's word today is to leave vengeance to the Lord. That's the main idea. And the three points that we'll be talking about today are: God will punish the proud, God will free his people from injustice, and Jesus will be the ultimate savior. And so once again, the main idea for today is leave vengeance to the Lord. And the three points are: God will punish the proud, God will free his people from injustice, and Jesus will be the ultimate savior. So let's talk about this first point. God will punish the proud. When we look at Obadiah is a really interesting book because it's not addressed to God's people. There's a prophet of God who gets a vision, a prophecy, not about the Israelites, not about the southern kingdom or the northern kingdom, but there's a prophecy about the Edomites. And you might ask, who are the Edomites? Well, the Edomites are close relatives of the Israelites. And the Edomites, they descend from the people that come from Esau. And if you guys know the Bible, then you guys might remember that Esau was the brother, the twin brother of Jacob. And Jacob and Esau, they have a whole story that goes on, and they were kind of at odds with each other as brothers. And they were twin brothers, but they were at odds with each other. And Jacob, he had many children, and a nation came out of Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and so that's where the people of Israel come from. And then there was Esau, and a nation came out of Esau also, and Esau, his nickname, or his name, became Edom, or the people of Esau became known as the Edomites. And so, in a way, the Israelites and the Edomites were brothers. But interestingly, what happened with Jacob and Esau continued on between the Israelites and the Edomites. And there was continual fighting through so many years. And what ended up happening was that, as we've heard from previous sermons, that the Israelites, they were punished by God for being unfaithful, for not taking care of the poor and the helpless and the hopeless of the land, and where they turned away from God. So they weren't living lives that were just, and they weren't living lives that were faithful. And so God decided to punish the Israelites. But what did the Edomites do? The ones that were supposed to be close relatives to the Israelites, what did they do when the Israelites were being conquered and were being plundered? What did the Edomites do? What they did was that they also took advantage of the situation, and they started going to the Israelite cities and started plundering those cities. What did they do? They went into the land, and they might have found some survivors, and they took those survivors and they gave them to the conquerors. In other words, these people that were supposed to be close relatives of the Israelites ended up betraying the Israelites, backstabbing them, even though they were supposed to be helping them, protecting them as family. And so what God does in Obadiah is that he pronounces punishment against the Edomites. And these Edomites were supposed to be close relatives, but they became the enemies of Israel. And some of you may identify with this type of situation, where maybe there was someone in your past that was supposed to be close to you. Maybe they were a parent, or a sibling, or a friend, or maybe a teacher. They were supposed to be close to you, but they ended up betraying you, betraying your trust, and they ended up hurting you. And so what God does in the beginning of this passage is that he points to Edom's pride and says, this is the reason why you are going to be brought down. And so let's read a part of that today at this point. It says in Obadiah verses 3 to 4, it says, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. So what does God say? God says, Edom, you are filled with pride. You think that just because you live in a place that's pretty secure, and just because you think that you're living on this mount, on this mountaintop, and you guys aren't being the ones that are, you guys aren't the ones that are being conquered. You guys think that you guys are so great and so wonderful, and you guys have the power now, and you guys are the ones that are plundering the Israelites. You guys are the ones that are victorious. You guys think in this way, and this is your pride, thinking that nothing can bring you down. But God says, I will, no matter how high your pride is, no matter how great you think you are, I will bring you down. Now, what's interesting is that in Obadiah, it's just like a prophecy that's found in Scripture, the way that prophecies are done in Scripture. It starts with a particular idea, but it doesn't just stop there. It begins to expand that idea and this idea called progressive revelation, where as time goes on, God gives more and more clues as to what he's talking about exactly. And in the end, it's clear what God will do in the bigger picture. And so even though he's specifically talking with Edom, but what we find is that he's not only talking about what Edom has done to bring about injustice against God's people, Israel, but he also points to any nation, any group of people that brings about injustice to God's people. God will bring judgment. And so it says in Obadiah verses 15 to 16, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. For as you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. They shall drink and swallow and shall be as though they had never been." Basically, what God is saying here is all those nations, they will also be punished. And this idea of drinking, a lot of times when you look at even the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, there's this idea of a cup. And that cup is a cup of wrath that comes from God. It's a cup of punishment. And so this verse is pointing to that idea, saying the nations that are bringing about injustice, especially to God's people, but all the nations that are bringing about injustice will face punishment. They will face God's wrath, and they will disappear, or they will be punished as if they have never existed. It doesn't mean that God will annihilate them and they won't exist anymore in their souls, but maybe their nation will be annihilated. Or maybe they will go off into eternal punishment. And so when we look at Obadiah, if you're a person that's faced some type of injustice in your past, this letter is actually a letter, this prophecy is actually a prophecy of encouragement, saying that God will bring about justice in the land. God will punish the proud. God will bring about justice so that all the wrongs that were done against you will be dealt with. And so that's good news. And so let's talk about that a little bit more. In our second point, God will free his people from injustice. You know, in Obadiah, and we look back at just some of the things that Edom did, that God points out, the ways that they were unjust to the Israelites. And I don't have this on the screen, but it says in verse 12 to verse 14, it says, "But do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of his misfortune." You know, don't be proud and laughing and saying, "Look at, you deserve that. Look at all the things that you did to me. You deserve this." Don't gloat over the day of your brother and the day of his misfortune. "Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress." So what we see are people that are just proud and they're thinking, "Look, I can do whatever I want to God's people. And I don't even need to think about them. I could just be silent and just let the conquerors take them away." There's another verse that says, "On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them." And so the injustice that we find is that there are people that don't care for other people, especially God's people. And they're acting proud in that way. And so when we think about the injustices that God's people face back then, we can also think about examples of how God's people face injustices today. So for example, you know, what are some of the ways that Christians face injustice? Well, one way that we might, that may immediately come to mind is the way that Christians are persecuted. And Jesus said that Christians would be persecuted, that his followers would be persecuted. And perhaps maybe for some of you, the example that comes to mind is, the big country next door, they're known on the news and among Christian circles for all the persecution that's happening in that nation. But it's not only in that nation, persecution is happening all over the world. And so, maybe that's something that comes to mind when we talk about the injustices that God's people face. But maybe for a lot of you, you've never faced persecution. You don't know what that's like. And so it's more difficult to identify with. And so maybe we could look a little bit more closely at what are some of the injustices that we may have faced in our own lives. There may be similar injustices that you've felt, maybe on a more personal level. I know that I have. I've actually had multiple experiences when I was in primary school, in elementary school, in junior high, and even in my 20s and 30s. I've faced different kinds of situations where I've been really hurt badly. And one example that I want to give is when I was in seventh grade. There's a situation that still is really, when I think about it, it's just, I get upset about it. And basically it was a friend who was supposed to be a close friend of mine. He took my brother and I and another friend, we went biking. And what he ended up doing was he ended up abandoning us. And it was in an area that was a little bit dangerous. And so he abandoned us and put us in danger of getting either beat up or killed or lost. And what I felt was betrayal. I felt that he completely just left us for nothing, and it just felt really unjust. And I was just imagining all the things that could happen to my brother and I. Actually, I didn't think much about my brother. I was just so afraid for myself. I was just running away and I was yelling at my brother to hurry up and catch up to me. Maybe some of you have felt or have gone through an experience like that or something worse. Maybe you felt betrayal. Maybe you felt backstabbed. Maybe you felt unfairly treated, maybe at work or within your family. Maybe you felt the injustice of favoritism or maybe just being overlooked. Maybe you felt that. Perhaps you were mistreated at work. Perhaps you were mistreated because of where you're from. Perhaps you were mistreated because of the color of your skin. Perhaps you've been mistreated because you're not as pretty or you're not as successful. Or maybe you've been mistreated because your marriage wasn't successful. The good news is that God will free his people from injustice. God will bring about justice. God will punish the proud and he will free his people from injustice. And that's what Obadiah is all about. And we can hold on to this truth and hold on to the idea that, you know, even though I may not be able to see justice brought about, God will bring about justice in the land. And that's what we could hold on to. Remember, there is this passage, and actually I quoted from Romans earlier, but there's this passage that points to the same idea or a similar idea in Hebrews, and it says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" And so we know that God is a God of justice. He will not leave the guilty unpunished. He will bring about justice. He says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." But here it's interesting. In Hebrews, it gives a little bit of a different take on this verse. And it says, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Just as we've spoken about in previous sermons in this series, you know, we hear about how God will bring about justice, and we're saying, yes, Lord, bring the day of the Lord to us. But what God reminds his people is that, look, why are you looking forward to the day of the Lord? Don't you realize the sin that's in your own hearts as well? And so as we look at Obadiah, even though we are thinking about how we've been hurt and wronged by other people, sometimes what might happen in some of your lives is that because the pain is so much and it's so deep, we know about verses like this, about vengeance is mine, I will repay, but still we want somehow to bring about justice in our own lives. Because man, that pain was so deep. And so sometimes what we end up falling into is that because we've been hurt so badly and we felt that injustice so deeply, that our life becomes about, I want to bring about justice. I want to make sure things are done in the right way. I want to make sure that justice is brought about in this land. And sometimes it's directly against the person that brought injustice against you. And sometimes it's against other people that remind you of that person. And sometimes it's the rules and regulations of the land that make you feel like all these people are suffering like you are. But in your mind, you're wanting to bring about justice in the land. You want to somehow make things right. And that's where we begin to fall into the same trap that Edom did, where we become the prideful nation, where we think we can save ourselves, where you might think you're the savior of this world. It's a really difficult thing to think about. Because when the hurt is so deep, it's very difficult to think about what is it that I've done wrong. Look how I've been wronged so badly. And we turn our eyes to ourselves and we look at the pain that we've gone through, and we're not willing to look at the sin that is also there. Not the sin that's done against you, but because there was sin and injustice that was done against you, the response that you have is a response of sin, of turning away from God and not trusting that he will take vengeance for you. We turn away from God and we begin to, and you possibly begin to bring about justice yourself. Perhaps it's in a passive form, as we've talked about last week, where you're not actively trying to bring about justice, but you want to avoid those places where you might get hurt. You want to avoid, and you're fearful of getting hurt once again. And so you want to stay away from people. And actually, during this time of voluntary lockdown, it's just so much nicer not to come into church. Because when you come to church, you might see other people that have hurt you already, and you just want to avoid those people. It's so much nicer just to stay at home and not face those people and just make it about you and God. And what ends up happening is that there is injustice, a passive injustice, where you're not caring for other people and you're just caring about yourself. Matthew 18 says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, It would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck to be drowned in the depth of the sea. This verse might seem a little bit random, but this verse, when you look at the word child, it can be understood as a little child. If you cause a little child to sin, or another way to translate the word from the Greek is, if you cause a child to stumble, then it's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and to be drowned in the sea. Another way to understand this word child is not just children, but believers. And if you read Matthew 18, the whole of it, and also if you read through Matthew 24, you see that this word child can be used in a similar way, or the way that it's used here, it goes from child to little ones. The word little ones can be used in a way to refer to Christians. And so by your action or by your inaction, if you end up causing others to stumble, then you are going against God. It's better for you to be thrown into the sea and be punished in that way than to face God's wrath. Let me try to say it a little bit differently. Because of the pain that we faced in our lives, our response is to want to bring about justice ourselves. And the way that we bring about that justice is either by attacking the person, that enemy, that person that has become our enemy, and we don't leave the vengeance to the Lord, but we want to bring about vengeance ourselves. Or we avoid those areas, those places, or those people that we're fearful of, and we're not showing love to them. And perhaps that person is a Christian. Maybe that person knew what they were doing. Or maybe that person didn't know what they were doing. But man, you were hurt so badly. And so you just want to avoid that person. Instead of approaching the person and pointing out what they did to you, instead of facing the difficult circumstance, instead of dealing with the conflicts that arise between us. And so through our inaction, or even through our action, we bring about injustice, and it's the pride in our hearts thinking that we can save ourselves. And remember what Edom said remember what God said to the Edomites. No matter how high you go with your pride, no matter how safe you think you are, I will bring you down. It's so easy for us, as for those of you that are Christian, to think, I've been hurt so badly and I haven't done anything wrong. Or if I did do something wrong, it's not as bad as that other person. But week after week, especially through our Minor Prophets series, I want to continue to remind you, no matter how great the sin was that person did to you, your sin against God is that much greater. And we need to realize that the injustice that we faced is small in comparison to the injustice that we bring about against God. But this is where we come to the good news. Jesus will be your ultimate Savior. The day of the Lord is coming, as Obadiah talks about. And the day of the Lord is a day where all the pride will be dealt with, all the pride of the nations will be dealt with, and the nations, they will drink the wrath of God. And we are included in that description. We are part of the nations. Even as Christians, we fall into this over and over again, where we bring about injustice. we are included in that description of the nations. But the difference between believers and unbelievers, those that have put their trust in Jesus and those that have not, the difference is that we look to Jesus. And instead of us drinking that cup of wrath, Jesus was willing to drink that cup of wrath on our behalf. It says in Luke chapter 22, and he withdrew, this is talking about Jesus, the night before he went to be crucified. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What Jesus was saying here was, please take this cup of wrath from me. But I'm still willing. Not my will, but I'm still willing to follow your will, Father. I am willing to go through the pain and the suffering. I am willing to go through the abandonment of the Father. I'm willing to go through the punishment for my people. And so rather than the wrath falling upon us, the wrath of God fell upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus became our ultimate savior from that wrath. We originally were children of wrath, as it says in Ephesians 2. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, our compassionate and merciful God, our merciful and gracious God, our compassionate and gracious God, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And so because of what Jesus Christ has done, Obadiah 17 is able to exist, where God gave a glimpse of what he would do through Jesus Christ. Obadiah 17 says, but in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape. Escape the wrath of God, and it shall be holy. The people of God will be made holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. And we know from Scripture that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you trust what Jesus has done for you, that you no longer, because of Jesus Christ's crucifixion, his death and resurrection, you are no longer going to receive God's wrath, then this promise, this statement is for you. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Look at that, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So when we go back to Obadiah 17, we can know that this is talking about you who believe in Jesus Christ. But in Mount Zion, there shall be those who escape. And those people and that place will be holy. And the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. Jesus is the ultimate savior of us, of you that believe. And because of that, as 1 Peter says, we now are able to proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us. He called us out of darkness into light. And so now we have that opportunity to call even our enemies, those people that have hurt us so badly, to point them to Jesus Christ and say, look, you've hurt me. I've hurt Christ, but he's forgiven me of the hurt that I've done to him. And so I want to forgive you. It's hard and I've struggled through this, but I want to forgive you, and I want you to also know that you, a child of wrath, can also be brought out of darkness into light. So brothers and sisters, leave the vengeance to the Lord, so that we may begin to, that we may be free to be able to love even our enemies. Here are just some pointers, some practical pointers and truths that you can hold on to and that you could possibly practice. Since Jesus is the ultimate Savior, you can continue to tell yourself, because of Jesus, I can be healed from others' sins. I can leave vengeance to the Lord. I am free from trying to bring justice for myself and by myself. And I can confess that I've tried to justify myself. I can confess my sin, that this is what I do to justify myself by trying to bring about justice and saying that it's okay. And I can then begin to love even my enemies. Let's pray together. Some of us that are hearing this message today, Lord, you know what they've gone through. And it's very, very painful what some of them have gone through. And it's very, very difficult to go through the process of trying to forgive, even to try to reconcile. Lord, you know the pain that they've gone through. And so, Lord, I pray that as you are the compassionate and gracious God, Lord, would you free your people from the injustice that they faced? Would you free them that they may be able to leave the vengeance to you? And Lord, that they would turn to you and find freedom and peace and healing from that pain. And I pray also, Lord, that you would continue your work in the hearts of your people, even in my own heart. That we may continue to love even our enemies. Just as before we were your enemies and still you loved us. Lord, may we receive your love and love those who have hurt us by calling them to your truth and sharing with them that it's possible that they can come out of darkness into your marvelous light. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.